Repaying an Immigrant for Teaching Me How to Steal, Long Island, May 1955. Fanny tried to teach me how to steal spring, but it's taken years to get the knack. First, I had to imagine a 6-year-old refugee with a rag doll disembarking circa 1892 in New York after weeks of skulking across Europe, after months of seasickness, to escape the pogroms spilling out of Russia that once again turned Kiev streets into anti-Semitic free-for-alls, age-old atrocities flooding through the Ukraine in cracking bones and mobs and flying bricks, hatred then panic choking its cities like Black Sea dreck, until one moonless night her nana foresaw the covenant being restored. So they fled clutching cloth bags to the dream called America, where the lucky ones could fill up on chutzpah and bargain for a better deal. Fanny paid the butcher by the synagogue his shiny coins and turned left, heading straight for the lawn of the unfenced house on Springfield Boulevard. She pulled fabric shears from her apron pocket, as if doing a magic trick, and stood like a woman in her own yard, praying by the bright purple burning bush, stealing her share of the promise with one clean cut. Lilacs overflowing, a large mayonnaise jar beside the used tea bags piling up on her rickety table. They scented the attic apartment my parent had fixed up so she'd have a place to live above us on her own, to keep her face from turning blacker and bluer like a parcel with forwarding addresses scribbled across it, sent off from one ungrateful son or daughter to another. My right hand put a domino down to block Fanny's, as my left turned a chicken foot from her soup pot to help me chew skin and tendons from its toes, the only two promises spring held for me at 6, unless you count the crocus's orange tongue and the sting of my father's leather belt, or the leer and a halo of cigarette smoke warping anonymous lips as it moved hastily toward me from the bushes of vacant lots on Shortcuts Home. And no way to enter her prayers then about loss and acceptance, as on nights I slept next to her, watching sparks in the darkness begin dancing upon her dancing lips. But in a bit over 2 years, I'd be getting high on bus exhaust on the long ride home from Jamaica after we received the Ten Commandments at the Lowe's Valencia Movie Palace. My denims were soaked from following Charlton Heston all the way through the parted Red Sea to Freedom with the rest of the audience, everyone filled with awe as we emerged. I was certain my voice would be turning by the time I reached my bus stop, that I'd wake up in the morning with thick hair growing between my legs and down to my shins. It was going to be much more than an hour since Fanny had pressed those 2 new quarters into my hand in the lobby and whispered, "Now find your way home." When I finally knew I had arrived, gratitude started welling up as from an oasis spring, and I was still lost there in that lobby of deliverance among towering adults, helplessly watching Fanny disappear into the reeds.